It's going to be a quarterback run up the middle at the 10, at the 5. Murray dives for the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Got to launch it. He does. Left side into the end zone. Jump ball, and oh my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it. He caught it for a touchdown with 1 second left. I can't believe it. Give Johnson up the middle. Gets leveled in the backfield by J.J. Watt. A tackle for a loss for Watt.
Hello and welcome into another episode of Cardinals Corner. My name is Eric Ruby. Alongside me, as always, the one and only Tyler Drake, your Arizona Cardinals reporter for ArizonaSports.com. You can find all of his wonderful work about mandatory minicamp, everything Cardinals related over on ArizonaSports.com and the Arizona Sports app. And most importantly, Father of the Year that was recently just announced, Tyler Drake. Now it's time for the acceptance speech. Father of the Year, how does it feel?
Father of the Year, yeah. Well, it's been been a heck of a week. Had a little family emergency, but we're doing good. Brady's doing all right. So, I'm pretty exhausted, but hey, we're here, or at least we're over the phone. So,
Tyler's had a very busy week. Besides bringing you all the best Cardinals coverage, he's also been taking care of his little baby, and I think that's very commendable. And now Tyler is being so brave as to jump onto a podcast with me, and now I'm probably going to push his buttons a little bit, and we're going to have a good time. But Tyler, you were at mandatory minicamp, were you not?
Oh, yeah. I was there. I was there both days. It was pretty hot, I'm not going to lie. The second day was a little cooler, but seemed hotter for some reason, so that was weird. But,
That is weird.
You got to see mostly everybody. We got to see Kyler. We did not get to see Rodney Hudson, which was a little shocking.
That's the thing. I was going to say, like, we transport ourselves back in time to before mandatory minicamp. What was the big question? What was the big storyline, Tyler?
Yeah, is Kyler Murray going to show up? That was the question. Nobody else really was even in the conversation, especially a guy like Rodney Hudson.
Not a thought in our minds on anybody else not showing up besides Kyler. Kyler shows up, but Rodney Hudson has an absence, and I'll let Cliff Kingsbury tell you if it was excused or unexcused.
Not excused.
Uh-oh. asked if he could say anything more?
I can't. Not right now.
Oh, but what about the next day, right? Certainly we can get an update.
No update as of now.
Okay, so Tyler, your starting center, obviously one of the big keys to your offense, one of the only offensive line members that's actually under contract and that plays center, doesn't show up to mandatory minicamp and nobody knows why. Is this a problem?
Yes, 100% it's a problem, just because, I mean, let's go back to last season. I think there was multiple games last year where if Rodney Hudson's not there and not helping Kyler Murray read the defense and get that offense where it needs to be, they don't win those football games. So having Rodney Hudson not be at mandatory minicamp is just, that's not a good look at all. I mean, that's the veteran of the veterans right there. That's Rodney Hudson. I mean, we've talked about this guy, how integral he is on this team. And when you have to get to the point where you've got a rookie in LaCeeda Smith and then you've got Justin Pugh starting to take reps at center, I mean, that's a little discouraging. I know that, I mean, you have to have a backup plan, you have to have an emergency plan, but just to be in that situation, I mean, I'll say right now, I thought the people that were mocking Tyler Linderbaum to the Cardinals all offseason in those mock drafts, I thought that was ridiculous. But now it's like, wow, maybe they're onto something. And who knows what the real reason is. Does he want to retire? Who knows? Does he? You go.
I just think that, like, that's the craziest thing is he straight didn't show up and nobody has an answer. The closest we got to anything was his offensive line mate, Kelvin Beachum. He was on Wolf and Luke the first day of mandatory minicamp. And they just asked, like, is he okay?
As far as I know, he's doing well. You know, just had a son not too long ago. I have a young daughter, so I know he's putting family first. And I would say that, you know, the rest will be handled between him and the organization.
That doesn't say anything. That doesn't, you know, mean anything. Okay, he has a son. That's great. That's awesome. Take care of family. Family first. That should be an excused absence. Like, that's something I think would be on the list, right? Like, oh, the veteran setter.
I believe that actually just happened too. I can't remember the player, but he was just excused because of the birth of his child, I believe. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, you would think that if it was something family-wise, it would be excused. So what's really going on?
Right. And, I mean, look, man, the craziest thing is, like, legitimately, nobody knows. Like, at all. Gambo was saying that, like, he's been trying to talk to players. Like, he's reported this. Like, I'm talking to players that they don't know why he's not there. And they were going to take Tyler Linderbaum. He tweeted this on draft night. They were going to take him with the 23rd pick if they didn't trade it for Hollywood Brown. And if I'm Steve Keim, I'm like, okay, Rodney Hudson, if you're going to retire, why could you not just tell me? Like, season yep. ended. Why are you waiting until literally nobody knows what's going on at mandatory minicamp, not voluntary OTAs, none of that. And now you're just gone. And like you said, we saw what it was like without Rodney Hudson last year, and the prospect of it and seeing Justin Pugh take snaps is like, it's depressing. And if you're Kyler Murray, of all people, in the middle of a contract dispute with your organization, the number one guy slated with keeping you protected, who's really good at his job, is not playing. Like, right now, we don't know what's going on. You cannot mark it down that Rodney Hudson will be there on week one. He could, but you don't know. So now, if I'm Kyler, yeah. I'm certainly not playing week one if I don't have a new contract. Not at all. Not without Rodney Hudson.
Yeah, Rodney Hudson, the guy who touches the ball as much as Kyler Murray. it's wild. It's one of those things where it's we all, and like we said earlier, like we all talked about, is Kyler going to show up? Is a contract going to get done? Blah, 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 blah. And now it's like, well, Kyler's here, but his basically right-hand man on the line is not. So what is going on? It's just a never-ending cycle for Arizona Cardinals.
Oh my God. Like seriously, dude, take it like week by week in this offseason. There's not been a single NFL team in the news more than the Cardinals. Nobody.
The hard knocks is probably like, man, we should have gone on them for the offseason.
They should literally just have Hard Knocks in season, Hard Knocks preseason, and then they should have Hard Knocks Cardinals, where they literally yeah. just follow the Cardinals every single day of the year, because for some reason, something always happens. And this is just the latest. And this is like,
it's crazy.
The thing is, like, there are so many other storylines from minicamp that we could get into. Like, we're not even going to talk about this episode, but there was a lot of Hollywood Brown talk. And we're going to have a lot of time before we get to training camp. So we will discuss, you know, oh man, the deep threat, the connection, how they looked out there, all of that. But like, there's just so many questions with this team. How do they perform without DeAndre Hopkins? Is Rodney Hudson going to play? Like, is your center going to be there? Is your quarterback going to be there? Who on your defense is your edge rusher that you are trusting? Is Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins going to actually play? Is Zaven Collins going to actually be the Mike linebacker? Or is it going to be Nick Vigil? Like, there are so many questions right now.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have to be answered. This should not be happening. Like, you need to be so focused and ready to make up from last season. And here you are with more distractions than, dare I say, anybody else in the entire league. And I don't know if that's just because we follow the Cardinals more, but I truly cannot find a more chaotic situation that's supposed to be winning this year.
I would say look to the neighbors in the Bay Area of the
Niners.
That is
fair.
That would be the only other team, I think, with just the, like, I mean, I guess we could throw the Browns in there just with the whole Watson thing, and maybe throw Baltimore in there because of the Lamar situation. But
those are just a quarterback. But those are just a quarterback.
Yeah, if we're looking at it, it's got to be Cardinals, Niners, and then everybody else.
Right, and like the Niners, the big storyline is, oh, is it Jimmy G? Is it going to be Trey Lance? Okay, and then you got Debo, right? So you got a contract holdout, and you got like a player dispute, more or less, a player battle, right?
Yeah.
Baltimore, it's Lamar Jackson, and he showed up, right? So that, not very much a story anymore.
He talked to the media.
Yeah, which Kyler didn't do. And then who else did you say? The Browns,
Well, the Browns, whole Deshaun Watson thing, they had him talk like twice.
Oh, God. That was painful to listen to, man. And
oh, it was. Yeah.
It's just like with all these teams, it's just okay. That's like one situation, and yeah, some of them are probably worse than some of the Cardinal situations. But it's just one after another after another after another after another after another to the point where we forgot that Kliff and Keim got extended through 2027. Remember that, Tyler?
I do remember.
That was this offseason. That was like 2 weeks ago. It wasn't. It wasn't two weeks ago. It wasn't.
It feels like a year ago.
I like the silence. I heard your brain turning. You're like, wait, has it really only been 2 weeks? No.
Yeah.
It is not.
I really was. Like the brain was like, please tell me.
But that's like, dude, that's this off season. Like you had to stop and think about it because it's just something gets thrown your way every other second. And one of the things that I've been kind of keeping my eye on for a while is the Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons dynamic, especially with defense this year. Like, are they going to be the leaders of it? Are they going to be the ones calling plays? And I don't know if you remember this, Tyler, but our first episode was called Path Cleared for Zaven Collins.
I do remember that. And see, that feels like a year ago.
It basically was. It wasn't, but that was when Jordan Hicks left, which again, another storyline. And we were like, okay, they're letting Jordan Hicks go. Like they're not trying to bring him back. He's going to go do other things.
They have confidence in Zaven to take over.
Right.
That was the biggest thing I got.
Me too. And what were we talking about?
He must have shown them that he is ready to take that next step.
Right.
That was the first reaction we both had to that.
Because you get rid of the guy calling plays for your defense that you had out there over him. I'm assuming that your first round pick that you drafted to be like the Mike linebacker becomes the Mike linebacker. And then on a completely other page, Isaiah Simmons. Oh, guess where he started mandatory minicamp, Tyler? With the safeties. What?
So there is a little bit of something to be said there because it's not out of the normal for him to do that. But at the same time, I mean, he was working a lot with that position.
Is something you do with people who are established. And I know Isaiah Simmons, I mean, he's somebody who says like, that's who I am. He was even asked this question, like, where does he think he would be if he only played one position?
I don't know. That's not really me. So I can't tell you that. You know, I've played multiple positions for as long as you guys have probably known my name. So, you know, that's just who I am.
And I get that. And I totally understand that. And even from his perspective, he says playing other positions have helped him.
Yeah, I think so. Just for the fact of, you know, then you know what everyone's doing. Because, you know, playing at safety, you got to know what your nickel's doing. You got to know what your corner's doing. Linebacker, you got to know what your safeties, your nickels and corner and D-line are doing. So just being able to go everywhere has just gave me conceptually – you know, more knowledge of our defense, which has been able to help me a lot, just knowing, because, I mean, it's a game of leverage, so knowing where your help is just, it's been a lot.
All due respect to that statement, you're not wrong, Isaiah Simmons. Playing other positions does help you. I'm sure that it's good to know, but why are you starting with the safeties? Not like, okay, we have Isaiah Simmons and he had a good camp and, you know, we're getting near the end of it. We're going to move him around and we're going to have him learn the other positions just to make sure he knows. But he's got to be comfortable in his role first. Like, you need to use him in the absolute best way that you can use him. And I don't know if you agree with me, but I don't think that's at safety. Not that he couldn't get reps at safety, but that's not where Isaiah Simmons' bread and butter should be.
No. No. I mean, yeah, he can't. I mean, if he could make safety work, that'd be an incredible spot, but that's not what he's there for. He's there to be an inside linebacker.
And that's not where they need him.
It's one of those players, man, that it's the Hassan Reddick thing.
How do you draft inside linebackers and then back to back first rounds, and then years later I'm sitting here going, wow, they could really use a nice inside linebacker. Like, what? How? Why? Like, at least just start them there and really
get
it to them.
Here's the thing, man, is if they decide to move Isaiah Simmons outside, everyone's going to say it's a Hassan Reddick 2.0.
And we see where that happened. Like, we see what happened with that.
Like, I mean, if at that point, maybe it pays off.
Yeah, but then he might leave. I mean, he might leave. Like, I want Isaiah Simmons to feel like he could be best utilized here. Like, I don't want players I don't want players to play good and then be like, well, I don't think I'm being utilized right, and then leave. Like, that's not like a win for the organization. Even if they produce in that role, that's not a win for you. It's not.
No, it's not. You're right.
And I hate to be like this negative guy, but like, what the heck are you doing? And it's the same thing with like Zaven Collins. And I talked about this before where Nick Vigil was on Wolf and Luke and he was like, yeah, I'm starting at Mike linebacker. And Zaven Collins, he was asked like, you know, are you going to be the voice of the offense? And he was like, basically said, I don't know, maybe I could be. That's not like confidence inspiring. And
no, and that's the thing is going back to when Hicks got released, when we said, oh, wow, like Zaven must have got instilled a lot of confidence in what he's showing them. And then we talked to Zaven and he goes, maybe I'm making the calls. Maybe I'm the guy in the middle. Maybe I'm the mic backer. Maybe I'm not. We're interchangeable at this point. And I mean, that right there is you want to have those backup plans, but at the same time, you need to have a guy who is going to be consistently calling the defense. I don't think it really – it's not going to work. I just don't see it working if you're going to have three, four guys in there at a time where one guy's calling one play at one point and then another guy's calling one play at one point. I don't see that working
isn't
in the long
Jalen
run
Thompson,
to help anybody.
Isn't Jalen Thompson calling plays? Or am I imagining that? I thought I heard him say that on Wolf and Luke.
He talked about that too. Yeah, I mean, there's multiple people making plays, but or calling plays. But at the end of the day, if you that quarterback of the defense is that mic backer, so you like it. Just there has to be continuity. I mean, right?
You're not crazy. Even though like we all feel crazy because the Cardinals are just doing what none of us would do in this situation. And here's Collins on – he was asked, like, are you going to be the play caller on defense? This was like a week ago. This wasn't from mandatory minicamp, but this was that question. Are you going to be the play caller on defense?
The thing that we're doing now is like an inside room is, you know, we can all play. You know, we have a couple different positions. You know, you have inside, you have another inside guy, and that's out of certain, you know, sets and stuff. But we've all played. We're interchangeable in what we can do. So if we get a call that has, you know, three different parts to it, one of us can take the main part of the role and the other guy's kind of just looking for where we're going to set this blitz where that's what he's doing. And I'm trying to set the, you know, the D lineman up and he's giving, is it going to go right? Is it going to go left? You know, or coverages and stuff like that. So we're both talking at the same time and that kind of is helping us right now instead of having just one man do the whole thing. And that's kind of where I think the end of last year to middle of last year went with like Jordan and Isaiah and Jordan and Tanner and all those guys.
You ever heard of too many cooks in the kitchen, Tyler?
Oh, yeah.
The Cardinals are going to have too many cooks in the kitchen, and the problem is none of them are five-star cooks. Like, I'm sorry, Zaven Collins, you don't get drafted in the first round to be interchangeable. Like,
no,
to have other
right.
people do your job. That's not why you're here. Not to be rude, like, I don't think I'm saying anything that shouldn't be expected of a first-round pick. I'm not being mean.
Here's the thing, man. Is when the team, when Steve Keim, when those guys come out last offseason and say this is our starting Mike backer, the expectations are thrown. Like, sorry, the expectations are there now.
It's undeniable. It's unavoidable. It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. And Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins, for better or for worse, they're tied together. It's Isaiah and it's Zaven. They're tied into that same group. And Simmons even talked about, if he thinks that, like, if that's true, if they believe that themselves.
I think a lot of it does, you know, just being two young guys kind of controlling the defense. I feel like our chemistry together is really, really important. And I said this last year in an interview, like, I didn't think that I was going to be friends with Zaven based off his interviews. But, you know, he's actually grown into being one of my best friends on the team. So, you know, I had to get after him a little bit last week, you know, just telling him, like, come on now. Like, we don't got time to be BSing around. We don't have to, like, the mistakes and stuff that we've been making before, we got to eliminate those and make new mistakes moving forward. And, you know, it wasn't something he wanted to hear, but I think at the end, you know, he realized that I was telling him that for the better of us. The better of us, the team, opposed to just harping on him like everybody, because I know how he feels. Everybody's just at you, like, you know, it's like he feels like you can't do anything right. And I'm just letting him know that's not what it was.
That was not an inspiring question, or at least the end of the answer. Like, oh, well, I got on him and he didn't want to hear it. I wish Zaven Collins would want to hear that.
Well, I mean, I will say this, though. I did appreciate the fact that Isaiah did kind of bring up that kind of leadership role. I think if he can kind of garner that and kind of grab that and take it to the next level, that might help that whole room. That might help Zaven kind of know that, hey, I don't have Jordan Hicks here anymore, but I've got Isaiah who is, you know, starting to take that next leap.
That's great for Isaiah. I like it for Isaiah. I hate it for Zaven, though. It's just,
You got to have somebody to learn from. And with Hicks gone, he learned a lot from Hicks. He learned how to basically read the NFL defense or read an NFL or NFL offense and do things of that nature, study the playbook. But now he's not there. So now he's got to lean on somebody else. And I think Nick Vigil's a guy that he can lean on too. But also, I think it's going to be a lot of Isaiah. They're close in age, and that's just what it's going to come down to. They are tied together. I mean, those are two guys on a hot seat for me right now, just because there is so much expectation for them to step up and actually take this defense by the reins.
I just shake my head, man. Like, when Nick Vigil came on and said that he was starting at Mike linebacker, I was told not to overreact by people. They're like, you know, they're just moving them around. And then Isaiah Simmons starts at safety. And then Zaven Collins says that he's not going to be calling the plays. In fact, he basically brushes off any responsibility whatsoever. I hate it because I feel like it's not the best for them long-term either. Like, you're going into this season not knowing the best way to utilize either of these guys. Or at least not picking a spot and saying, okay, let's figure it out. And I think that's going to hurt their development, and I think that's going to hurt the Cardinals. And I don't want to be sitting 6 weeks into the season being like, all right, well, I guess it's time to try to find a replacement for those two. Like, that's depressing. You don't want that to happen, but it doesn't seem like they're in a situation where they can succeed to the highest level, and I don't know if either of them are even able to, like, take that burden on their shoulders. I'd love for them to prove me wrong. In fact, I'm rooting for that. But none of this is inspiring confidence in me.
No. It's very head-scratching right now. I mean, training camp, I think all eyes are – that's one of the areas that all eyes are going to be on.
Well, another area, Tyler, is, hate it or not, you can run from it. You can try to hide. It'll find you. It's Kyler Murray.
Tyler?
It's Kyler Murray's contract situation, Tyler, because, hey, man, I'll just keep being mean. I'll be that negative Nancy. It's great that he showed up to mandatory minicamp. I guess it would appear that him and the organization are not on bad terms, but they still don't have a contract, and that's not a good thing. That's not nothing. Like, Cliff was asked, hey, when do you think a Kyler deal's going to get done?
I'm praying before training camp.
Well, so are we. So are we, Cliff. Non-answers galore. Which makes me think, Tyler, is there any doubt in this flood of optimism with Kyler being there at mandatory minicamp? Are we looking too far ahead? Too soon?
The optimism should be there at a point, just because, hey, he did show up. He didn't do what some of the other guys around the league did, and, I mean, they're going to get fined for it, but, you know, or unless they got to excuse absence, obviously. But, you know, there's still a lot that needs to be done for this thing to kind of be put to bed. I mean, until a deal is done, I don't think we can have a lot of, like, oh, it's getting done. We can just all go back to being, like, their best buddies. Like, until a deal gets done, I think we all need to treat this as, like, hey, there's still a negotiating in the negotiating process. Like, let's not rule out, like, who knows? There could be something tomorrow. They could go negotiate tomorrow. They're just totally just coming out of nowhere. But they go talk tomorrow and come away not happy, and then what? Like, so all that optimism is flushed down the toilet. So I would say optimism is warranted for sure with him showing up and actually playing the part. He looked like he was having fun out there with the guys, chatting with the guys, having fun. But at the same time, we also have to be, you know, realistic in the fact that there's no deal and there might not be a deal till next month. Let's be like, honestly, I don't see one getting done till the end of next month or the beginning of August.
That's exactly what I said too. July 27th is the date that I picked.
That's not bad. I like that one.
July 27th.
Well, and that'd be right before training camp or right at the start of training camp, I would say.
Yeah, we don't know exactly when training camp starts, but that is in that general area.
I mean, it would make sense. And here's the thing. They could get a deal done between now and then just wait till training camp to get it all released at all at the same time and have that huge wave of positive media and then go from there.
If I'm Kyler Murray, if I'm a two-time Pro Bowl quarterback vying for a contract extension that for some reason my team is at least relatively reluctant to give to me. Not that they're fully opposed, but they're not like diving in at the immediate thought of it. They're waiting and they're seeing and they're negotiating. The only thing that you could pin against me to not pay me the max is my leadership. It's my team. Am I the guy in the locker room? Am I here for everybody? Am I a bad teammate? So what am I going to do in the middle of negotiations? I'm going to show up once for voluntary OTAs, and I'll show up to mandatory minicamp because that's what I'm supposed to do. What are you supposed to do, Cardinals? Yep. You're supposed to pay me for it.
Yep. He did what nobody thought he was really going to do. Showed up for the voluntary, showed up for the mandatory. Now he's putting the ball on the Cardinals court really to make that next move of, all right, this is what I did. Now what are you going to do?
And here we are. And we don't know anything. And we get the same vague answers from Cliff. I'm praying. Oh, I hope. I really want this to be done. He's going to be the highest paid player in Cardinals history. Blah, 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 blah. Like, just get it done. Like, as of right now, I'm not.
Stage.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, he hopes it gets done before training camp. Cool. Me too. We all are. But I'm not going to sit here and expect it until it happens. We haven't even heard, like, a report of, oh, things are going well in the contract negotiations. We've heard what, Tyler? Absolutely, positively nothing.
Yeah, what was the last thing we heard? The last thing we heard was the opening contract got pulled, right?
That's it. That was months ago.
That was the last thing we heard.
Everything else is speculation off of if Kyler shows up to something or not. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
I will say this, though. I thought it was interesting that Cliff not only went to the praying it gets done before minicamp route, but then he added the, like, highest paid in franchise. Like, I know that we all probably assume that now, but for the head coach to come out and kind of say it, I thought that was pretty interesting because he really didn't have to give us that. He could have just said, oh, I hope it gets done soon.
Yeah.
But instead, he kind of added some extra detail in there. Like, who knows? I mean, hey, they have the same agent. Was it a little bit of a, I'm just going to put this statement in there for everybody to chew on a little bit.
Well, here's a question that I don't know the answer to, but I'm going to ask anyway. Does Kyler have to get his full max to be the highest paid player in Cardinals franchise history? Or does that not encompass getting the biggest contract possible? Like, Cliff didn't say we're going to give him everything he wants and the full max and every single penny we could give him. We're going to make him the highest paid player in Cardinals franchise history. If, for some reason, that is not the absolute max that you can give Kyler, that is definitely a PR spin I could see the organization throwing out if something doesn't get done. Well, we offered to make him the highest paid player in franchise history, and he turned it down.
But that, yeah, and then you look at the quarterbacks that are making the money now, and it's like, right. Well, where does he rank among those? Like, that's really
the
what
Kyler contract, when it's signed, will be a deal in 5 years. Like 5 years from now, you look back at this contract and be like, if you could sign that today, if you could just run it back, you'd do it in a heartbeat.
I mean, and here's the thing. Everybody can look and say, well, oh, yeah, that'd be, yeah, highest paid on, like, that's not what Eric Burkhart and that side is looking at. They're looking at being one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. Whenever a quarterback gets signed to an extension that's huge and massive and ungodly, he's coming out and saying, hey, this is happening. What's going on? Like, there's tweets coming like minutes after those deals get done. Like, we know what they're looking at. They're not looking at getting paid the highest on the team in team history. They're looking to get paid among the highest in the NFL for hurlers.
And don't get me wrong. It could be worse. Like you said, there is a place for slight optimism in the fact that he is there. Now, he didn't talk to the media, but he was there. I would assume that they get a contract done at some point, but is it going to take a couple days of holding out for training camp? Is it going to be holding in, showing up and not doing anything? I mean, look, there's so many questions to be answered. There's stuff that we haven't even like tackled on this episode that we'll tackle in this little next month and a half of, I'd say it's going to be dull, Tyler, but knowing this team, it might be even more newsworthy in between now and training camp, but there's a lot of questions with this team, and this biggest one is still yet to be answered.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think we can look at this dead period with the Jack Nicholson gif of him just like nodding with a smile. Like that's what like.
I don't think we're going to be smiling, Tyler.
No. That's the NFL God saying like, just wait. You think it's going to be the dead time? Like just wait. Like I mean, there's still positions they've got to address. There's still stuff they've got to do. I mean, everybody says it's the dead time. Cliff's going out of the country, unreachable for the next month. But like
that was hilarious.
Yeah, he did not want to tell us where he was going. Either.
Like a Buddhist retreat, he said, right? But like he wouldn't say where.
I think that was more of a joke. But at the end, okay. He's like, "Yeah, I'm unreachable. Like only the people that need to reach me will reach me. Like you will not see me." So and he just would not specify where. A couple people asked.
He doesn't want us showing up and crashing his party. But if the Arizona Cardinals are a meme right now, they're the "this is fine" dog in the burning house meme.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like, yeah. Hollywood Brown is here, guys. Everybody smile. Everything's okay. We're good. Our starting center didn't show up. The two inside linebackers we drafted in the first round aren't going to play inside linebacker or call the plays for our defense. Our quarterback doesn't have the contract he wants. We extended our GM and our head coach through 2027. DeAndre Hopkins is gone for the first six games. I could just keep going. Everybody's just like, yeah, this is fine. No, it's not. But it's entertaining at least. I mean, even in like watching like something burn down sense, like
in a
what's
cynical
next?
Way, yeah.
Who doesn't show up next? At least we have Donut Gate to talk about. Like, at least there are some good parts to this team. But it's just incredible how week after week after week after week after week, and literally no exaggeration, after week after week after week, it's just
something. You can't forget that J.J. dunked on a draft team, so.
That was hilarious. The J.J. Watt, for those who didn't see it, he tweeted out a picture of him throwing the football, so it looks like he was also starting minicamp at a different position than where he's supposed to play.
The caption was "F it, Hop down there somewhere,"
which is fair if you are playing quarterback for the Cardinals. Except for Hop won't be down there for the first six games. And what did DraftKings quote tweet and say?
All they said was intercepted.
Yeah, which is funny. I'm not gonna lie, it was funny. And then JJ basically just quote tweeted with a screenshot of their stock price and it just going through the floor. And so
yeah,
you might need
to
intercept some profit. It's been a terrible offseason for the Cardinals, but a great offseason for J.J. Watt, the personality.
Yeah, he's a social media savant, man. Like, the dude knows what he's doing. Like, props to him.
Well, good for him for knowing what he's doing. We're still trying to figure it out, and we will be here next week trying to break down more Cardinals news for you guys. We'll give you the latest on Rodney Hudson, on Kyler Murray, on basically everything Cardinals over on ArizonaSports.com, the Arizona Sports app. You can follow Tyler on Twitter at TDrake4Sports. Get all of his Cardinals coverage. I mean, seriously, honestly, nobody, and I mean nobody, is bringing it to you like this guy. He's giving you stories. He's giving you photos, live tweets, press conferences, videos. I mean, you name it. If you need to know something Cardinals, follow. Here, write it down right now. At TDrake4, the number 4, sports. I'm serious. That's where I get all my Cardinals news from. It's at T Drake for Sports. So follow him. You can follow the show at AZ Cards Corner. You can follow me at EricRuby987. Go ahead and subscribe to the show. Tweet in at us. Let us know what you want us to talk about over the next month and a half. And hopefully, and I mean hopefully, the next time that we come on air, at least some of these questions that the Cardinals still have get answered. But until then, we'll talk to you guys next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.